Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for our daily magazine show, As It Is, and other programs designed for English learners.
Hello and welcome to the program that helps you learn American English. At the same time, you will hear about important events taking place around the world. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. It's nice to have you with us. Today, two serious stories. First, information about the drug trade between Pakistan and Afghanistan and its connection to terrorism. Then we will introduce you to the human side of conflict, as we meet people whose lives have been affected by the troubles in Ukraine. As It is coming to you from Washington. Pakistan and Afghanistan are working together to fight terrorism and increase security along their common border. And some experts hope this kind of cooperation will lead to more effective efforts against the drug trade. Many nations have worked together to fight illegal drug production in Afghanistan. But the United Nations recently reported another increase in the amount of Afghan land used to grow opium poppy plants. Drug dealers use poppy plants to make the drug opium. Pakistani officials are concerned about both the increase in Afghan drugs and plans to withdraw most NATO forces from Afghanistan. The officials say the two developments make it difficult for them to fight the drug trade. Major General Hawar Hanif is the head of Pakistan's anti-narcotics force. He says the international community must continue working together to fight the Afghan drug problem. He spoke at a recent international conference in Islamabad.
Thankfully, the commitment of the present Afghan government with respect to border control arrangements and counter-narcotic efforts is quite palpable. However, we believe that unless there is a wholehearted support from the international community proportionate to the drug problem, the region is going to remain in the same crisis. Abandoning our Afghan colleagues to deal with this overwhelming poppy cultivation and drug production is not an option at all.
Pakistan shares a 2,500-kilometer border with Afghanistan. Most of it is unguarded. General Hanif says the largely open territory makes it difficult for Pakistan to stop terrorism and drug trafficking. Pakistan and Afghanistan have exchanged high-level military officials. The exchanges are part of joint efforts to improve security and deal with militants involved in attacks on both sides of the border. Cesar Gudis is the representative for the UN Anti-Drug Office in Pakistan. He says joint efforts are needed to fight the drug trade in the area.
I think that is the key element for success in combating drugs trafficking in this part of the world. The main producing country plus a main transit country need to strengthen their efforts effectively, very professionally, and with all the sectors in both countries joining efforts to tackle this regional problem.
Mr. Gudis says illegal drugs from Afghanistan are commonly sold in Europe. He says the drugs are often shipped through Pakistan.
It's approximately 45 to 50% of the opiates produced in Afghanistan that use Pakistan as a preferred stepping stone on West international market. Then about 30% goes via the Islamic Republic of Iran, and the balance 20-something percent via the Central Asian republics onwards to Russia and Europe.
Pakistani officials say the increased production of Afghan drugs has also led to an increase in drug use among Pakistanis. You are listening to the Voice of America. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. Hundreds of thousands of people in eastern Ukraine have fled their homes to escape fighting between government forces and Russian-supported rebels. Most are in government-controlled parts of the two eastern districts that the rebels claim. Under international law, they are called internally displaced persons, but they call themselves refugees. VOA visited a group of these refugees at a church just 40 kilometers from the front lines of the conflict. As we hear from Kelly Jean Kelly, the refugees believe the building is a safe place for them.
One of the refugees is named Paul. He is the leader of a different church. He fled the rebel-controlled Donetsk city early in the conflict.
I left in the end of June because it was quite strange situation. It was difficult to express, danger to express my point of view. It was a danger for my life.
Many of the refugees in the church lived in small towns and villages before the Ukrainian Revolution took place a year ago. Shortly after the revolution, Russian President Vladimir Putin supported an uprising in eastern Ukraine. Many people there feel closer to Russia and fear what will happen if Ukraine continues to become politically closer to Western nations. The people VOA interviewed all speak Russian and are from eastern Ukraine, but they do not feel close to Russia. We spoke to a woman named Nadezhda, a church worker. She says she brought her 90-year-old mother to the church the day before we spoke to her. She says during the night, an artillery shell landed near their home, causing great destruction. Galina is a social worker. She says she saw the explosions and the shelling. She says she was afraid to sleep at night. She worried that if she slept, the house would blow up. The fighting in eastern Ukraine has also affected the children who were forced to flee quickly with their families. They attend new schools and must try to make new friends. They say they miss the friends and family members they were once close to. Anya is a student who fled the conflict. She says she talks, when she can, with her friends in the city she fled. But, she says, her friends often do not have telephone service or electricity. She says they struggle to recharge their phones. She says when she is able to talk with them, they tell her there is shelling every day. In the safety of Artemivsk, the refugees try to make new friends. Galina, the social worker, says they are given food and clothes. She says they fled wearing only summer clothes, like shorts and T-shirts, but now they have winter clothes. She says it is nice that the world is thinking about them. Olga is a music teacher. She says the children are going to school and taking music lessons. She says the adults are trying to help the children live normal lives, similar to the ones they had before they fled the fighting. But they fear that the rebels will force them to flee again. The rebels are nearby. They are supported by Russian troops, supplies, and training. The church worker named Nadezhda says she cannot accept the idea of the rebels coming because, in her words, they are destroying our people and our land. It is not right, she says. It is not fair. The refugees say they hope to go home someday. But peace talks between Ukraine's government and the rebels ended after just a few hours on Saturday, and each side criticizes the other. Pressure is also growing for the West to provide military weapons to the Ukrainian army. So the refugees will probably stay where they are for a long time. If the fighting reaches Artemivsk, they may be forced to flee even farther west. I'm Kelly Jean Kelly.
And I'm Jim Tedder at the VOA studios in Washington.
Coming up, more programs designed for English learners. You can read and listen to our reports and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Economics Report. Recently, a Chinese regulatory agency said that most of the goods sold on the Chinese website Alibaba are counterfeit. That means the products are not made by the company that is claimed to be the maker. Alibaba is a website that connects buyers with sellers. The company's chief, Jack Ma, says he has solved the dispute with Chinese officials. China's Alibaba Group has become a major internet company in a short amount of time. Last year, the company raised $25 billion in its IPO, or initial public offering. The company offered stock shares to the public for the first time last September on the New York Stock Exchange. But recently, China's State Administration of Industry and Commerce, SAIC, released a report that said the company has not done enough to stop the internet sales of illegal goods. Alibaba's executive chairman, Jack Ma, said this was not true.
We were misunderstood by the world that we are not transparent. We don't want misunderstood by the world that Taobao is a platform of selling fake products. And we want this company is always, I said, not represent China internet. It represent the spirit of internet of the whole world.
The SAIC report said that Alibaba employees took bribes and permitted merchants to sell illegal wine, handbags, and other goods without the required license. It also said an investigation showed that many of the samples on the Taobao retail website were not licensed products. Alibaba runs Taobao. On January 27th, Taobao rejected the study's findings. The company said the study was unfair. The next day, the SAIC released information about a July meeting between its representatives and Alibaba officials. In the meeting, the SAIC informed Alibaba that counterfeit goods were being sold through the website. The agency also told the company that it had violated marketing rules and had a poor consumer rating system. Later, however, tensions between regulators and Alibaba appeared to ease. The SAIC and Taobao both removed the materials from their websites. For many years now, Western companies have accused companies in China of stealing intellectual property and selling illegal products. In recent years, the government has taken steps to deal with those concerns. This week, Jack Ma spoke in Hong Kong. He said that the company will be open in its dealings with the legal action. He said the situation should give Western observers a better understanding of Alibaba and